Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Number six, it's horrible. You do not want number six. All right, you do not have number six. You got number 10. All right, number 10, you just won a phenomenal gift prize from the Conshohocken Brewing Company, a T-shirt, and a $25 gift card courtesy of the great Glenn Macklin. That's his place. Go to ConshohockenBrewery.com. On the line with us is the legendary coach from St. Joe's, the great Phil Martelli. Hi, Phil.
Angelo, I'm a little disturbed.
What's the matter, Phil?
Thinking of Frank at 12:45 on a Sunday sitting in his underwear, it doesn't really create a real great picture.
I'm very curious of your reaction to the fact that people will be able to bet on St. Joe's games now.
Well, Angelo, I could make good radio and tell you I've thought a lot about this, and this is I think college players now could be involved in scandal and that type of thing, or college campuses, their buddy in the room could say. But with all that's going on in college basketball and all that's going on with the NCAA and trying to really create a new game, not rebuild the old game, hasn't come up. I haven't wow. given it much thought. I'm at the Atlantic 10 meetings in Florida, and yesterday it was uttered. All the athletic directors, all the administrators, all the coaches are here, and somebody brought it up late last night and said, "What do we think about legalized gambling?" And there really hasn't been a reaction yet. I've read everything, obviously, and listened, and the pro leagues are going to make it to their benefit. They're going to put more money in their coffers. But college basketball and the NCAA right now is slow to the draw. I don't know that they have I'm sure somewhere at the higher-ups they have a plan. But on our level, on the local level, with St. Joseph's, it hasn't come up.
Phil, when I was at the Bahamas a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Atlantis.
And I could have placed the bet on St. Joe's. And the thing that was fascinating about it is you won the game big that night. I remember you won a big, and I went, why didn't I put a bet on it? Are you aware of the line before a game when you coach, Phil?
Yes, I am.
You are aware of it. Okay.
Well, because I read everything. And
sure.
Sometimes I use it as a ritual. I might go into the paper, look at them, and say, oh, that's what they think. I never bring it to my players' attention. I'll never say, fellas, we have to play well because we're a 7.5-point favorite. Or, you know what, the PG version would be, you know, come on, let's charge ahead because we're a 10.5-point underdog. I just use it sometimes to settle myself because I have a vision of the game and think, well, this is where this game will play out. This is going in. Here's where we should be, or here's where our recent play has led me to believe could happen in this game. But I never use it with the players. I don't fret over it. I don't prepare differently, and I certainly do not bring it to the players' attention.
All right, but like if you know you're favored by five and you're up three or whatever, you're close to that border. Does that enter your mind at all at the end of a game?
Never
does. Yeah.
No, I don't. Once I've read it, I just put it away and to make small conversation, I might even say to my coaches on the day of a game. At meal or something, I'll say, who else is playing in the league tonight? And they might tell me, UMass is at LaSalle, and I'll say, who's favored in that game? Who's going to win that game? Or what's the public saying about that game? But I never think about it when I read the result or hear a score and think something untoward may have happened.
All right, Phil, I got this story we're dealing with today. Lane Johnson said that before the Super Bowl, Bill Belichick talked bleep to Doug Peterson. And I'm taking that as said something derogatory about what was about to happen in the game. Has that ever happened to you in your career, that a opposing coach before a game would say something that was designed to infuriate or anger you?
No, not that I can remember. Now, again, I limit my conversation. I see the football coaches go out there while they're stretching and they're connecting, and even in the NBA, you see a guy go out. I'm admitting, until the ball goes in the air, I'm so worried about us and so unnerved, and I think of things like, you know, what if my guy gets a kidney stone and he can't play that game, you know? So, and I can't believe you didn't finish your shift, man. Come on.
Phil, I was sweating. I was admitted within the shift. I was in a hospital. I was hooked up to monitors, Phil. There was questions about whether I would make it.
Uh-huh.
Come on, Ange. You pulled a Donovan McNabb in the middle.
Pull a McNabb. I feel one more I got to get to because we have nowhere near the resource of knowledge that you do in all the years you've coached. But we're watching Brad Stevens right now, and we think we're getting a clinic on brilliant strategic coaching. He's the coach of the Celtics. What are you seeing?
I think it's absolutely first of all, I think that game is the highest level of basketball. I think NBA playoffs is the highest level of basketball. And I've always felt when they've talked about adjustments in the series and changing series to series, I was like, is it really? You've played 100 games and you adjust? But to watch the way that they've changed defensively each and every night out, and I think the biggest deal is his demeanor. He's just so calm. Even last night, he has a young kid, the kid Brown, after the game, and they said, what do you think? And he said, we have to get better for game three. You just finished off a game where you trailed, where a monster basically scored 40 on you, and that's your first reaction? Well, that's a coached reaction. And the inbounds plays against the the Sixers. Here's my Brad Stevens. As you well know, I'm not crazy about coaches calling each other coach because no one talks to you and says, hello, radio celebrity, and hello, talk show host. And when you see the next talk show host, you don't talk that way. But coaches talk to each other, hey, coach, hey, coach, hey, coach, because they don't want to spend any time finding out who you really are.
Huh.
Brad Stevens, the first time I met him, he was a kid. He may have even been in his 20s. The first time that I met him at an Atlantic 10 meeting, because they were in the Atlantic 10 for a year, he walked right up to me and said, hi, Phil. And I said, this is my kind of guy.
Wow.
There's something different, and there's something different about him on the sideline. He was the first one into analytics. His offensive mind is beyond belief, and his ability to put together a game plan in the NBA playoffs is just absolutely extraordinary. And he's without his two best players, Kyrie Irving and Hayward.
It's
just amazing.
But here's the thing, Phil, that really what I'm learning from watching this, and suddenly because he took over he beat the Sixers the way he did, I'm realizing that I think the coach of a basketball team has a more direct bearing on the outcome of games than the other three main sports. True or false?
Because there's fewer players.
Yep.
I would agree with that. Because in baseball, I'm not really sure double switch or when to pull a pitcher, that kind of thing. But in basketball, I think there are decisions made on every play, every single solitary play.
Mm.
And I think within the game, Angelo, the point you're making, coaching within the game of basketball, I think preparation in football.
Ah.
Their preparation is because they have really 6 or 7 days to prepare for that game. And then the game happens so quickly, and they all talk about their script and that kind of thing. In basketball, there is no script. You have a game plan, and you better have game plan B and C because you're going to have to make adjustments. And especially in the NBA, because I just think it's extraordinary, the level of competition, the level of player, and the level of intensity.
Awesome stuff. Phil, I always learn, my friend, every single time. Great talking to you again, my friend. Talk soon.
All right. Take care.
The great Phil Martelli out. And let me make this clear. You were here.
Yeah.
You were advocating my departure.
Yeah. Right? T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.